Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota Brookhaven services all makes and models. That could be why we were voted best service department the past 2 years. Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota Brookhaven, we deliver.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good morning, everyone. Obviously, I am not Nellie Neal. If you're watching or listening, you can tell this is not Nellie Neal. This is Mark Patrick Peaches sitting in for Nellie Neal. She's on a little hiatus this weekend. Maybe Mother's Day. I'm not sure. She's not here, but you're stuck with me and Lance.
It's okay. We can pull it off.
Good morning,
Lance. She gave
us
blessings this morning, so I think we'll be okay. Plus, it's, you know, the Lord is shining on the plants today with the rain, at least the last 2 days, so they're happy.
Yeah,
but we're solid.
Definitely.
We're waterlogged.
Definitely.
I don't know how you did okay. Did you pirogue in?
Man, you know, that could be a whole topic. There's 2 hours to talk about the weather. You know, I looked this morning about 6 o'clock, and it's raining. I think New Orleans and Memphis may not be getting rain, but 85% of the rest of the state is wet this morning, which is a good thing. You know,
it'll help out for the growing.
Yeah.
It sure does make for some skeeters and humidity once it's all over and hot.
Slugs.
Oh,
you know,
right.
It's going to be a banner year.
They're amazing. Like I was telling her once, my dad, I went down in a lower part of his lot and noticed that there were thousands of slugs. And I was like, goodness gracious, where are these things coming from? I tried to find like where you could trace them back to, but it's just basically just a lot of leaves and
it is,
and, you know, damp kind of area. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, garden, what's a good word? Cleanliness, you know, not too much mulch, wet spots, you know, keeping things clean around your plants, because those are like little, you know, lounges for slugs. They're like, oh, hey, look, I got a spot to hang out, you know. And then, man, when you're not looking, I don't know how they eat so much. They're so small.
What do they eat?
Everything, pretty much. You know, there's a few plants that they leave alone, but man, they can tear some stuff up, you know. And I don't know a lot of the science behind slug reproduction, but I'm sure it would be worth looking into, because, you know,
will the diametric earth work on that? Since
the diatomaceous,
or diatomaceous, yeah, thank you.
It will help. Yes. The problem with that is it's so wet now that, you know, if it rains on it, it's going to dilute it. So you have to be pretty, you know, diligent.
Doing it is what you're saying.
Diligent, yeah. And you know, they like beer too.
I've heard that.
Yes.
So that's not good for them, but they like it.
Well, they kind of drown in it, actually. You know, don't use.
Or you can use it as bait.
Yeah, you put it out and bait, and they will actually go into it, and then they don't come out. You know.
Hmm.
But don't use a finer beer.
It's kind of like the Roach Motel, as they check in and they don't check out.
That's exactly right.
That old commercial.
That's exactly right. You know, but then, you know, that's when you get the predators to come in, and definitely, you know, I brought my frog this morning. A little yoga frog, because that's
I'll
the kind of the
zoom down on him in a moment.
That's the mood today, everybody.
The yoga frog.
It is a good day to be a reptile.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, the frogs have been very happy, I've noticed.
Oh yeah. And you know, I even
like
this
world.
You're gonna love this, but I actually had a very nice lady, well, one of them that I interviewed a couple of weeks ago, from one of the plant sales, begged me to catch all the toads and bring them to her. Because, you know, we have a toad apocalypse around our pool every year.
I got you.
Yeah.
You just get a bunch of them.
Yeah, I'm going to gather them up and take them to her. You know, there's a project for a rainy day. You know, and it's another good day to maybe grab a gardening book. You know, get in there and organize your seeds, all those seeds you've been keeping up. If it's too wet to get outside, there's plenty of things to do.
So what do you do with seeds when you're talking about a gardening book? Is it kind of like a tool chest for seeds? You just make sure you have them lined up, and organized so you can find them?
Exactly.
Which
you know,
is dry, obviously.
Dry, yeah. Little Ziploc bags, you know, certain seeds. You know, you can extend the life of seed if you put them in the freezer. You just got to keep them away from humidity and, you know, moisture of any kind.
Is a refrigerator, like if you had a little beer fridge that you would have had in college and it's been sitting out.
Put them in something airtight.
Okay, you know. But it doesn't have to be a freezer. It could be, you know, cooler temps, something dry.
Right.
Seal them in a little Ziploc, little baggie or something.
Exactly. You know.
Label them so you know what they are.
You know, I'm the guy that can teach people how to do anything but never follows his own advice. Yeah. You know those people?
Yeah, or how many of them are?
Put the name on them, please, because, you know, I open a drawer and I'm like, oh, wait, what are these?
Yeah.
You know, label them. I've seen people use tackle boxes. That's a good one. A pencil box, you know, any kind of little organizer. And,
I think a tackle box would be great.
Yeah.
Especially some of the ones with the little individual compartments. That there's tons of them. And
exactly.
Then they have the extra insets of plastic boxes where you could put tons of things. And that seems like that'd be good because you could, you know, magic marker on those see-through ones. That'd be a good idea.
A good Sharpie, you know.
That's a really good idea because I've had packs of seeds that I didn't want to plant right then.
Right.
And then you kind of let them, they float around. You see them, you're like, yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Over there. But it's probably not the best way to keep them.
The space that I loosely call my office at home, there are seed packets littered everywhere, and, you know, some of them are labeled, some aren't. My bad.
But. Yeah, well, we have our first question from Ken and Jackson this morning on the text line.
Ken.
And he did do some – I really appreciate the magic marker on the photo. I've learned how to do that myself. I've become much better at when I – send an image to somebody, I can circle what I really want them to see now. Because I'm so good work, Ken. Now we know what we're looking at. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Here we go, Ken. Where'd you go? We're going to get down here. Christmas cactus. Yeah. That's, you know, been a lot of rain. Let's see. Yeah. He's up on the water. You know, they've been potted. Christmas cactus tend to like bright light. Not necessarily full sun, and ease up on the water. And I would suggest, especially this year, don't put all your houseplants and things out where Mother Nature can water them, because then you don't have any control over it. You know, consider keeping them where you can control how much water they get. If you've got something big that can handle it, set it out there. Otherwise, keep it protected where you can kind of, you know.
When you're doing work, and we see one of the images up now, and the big planters that are outside.
Yeah.
Obviously, are you thinking that way when you're putting those out? You're going, okay, well, these types of plants are going to have full exposure to nature, so I need something in there.
Yes.
Versus something that may be on the front porch in a big pot that is a little more protected, and those plants may work better into that. So.
Well, you know, what you do in like a lot of the larger pots I do are hooked up to drip irrigation and, you know, they're automatically watered. So when you have something that's automatically watered, the center of the pot's always going to be the wettest and the edges are going to be the driest. So you have to use, you know, you have to have some forethought there and put the things that like the dry spot on the edge and the things that can handle a little more moisture in the middle.
You're not moving those big jokers around much. Those are fairly – I know because I have a couple. And
I do some, yes.
You know, you need a dolly.
Yes.
It is the easiest way to run one of those. Yeah. or get three or four people.
Myself and one of my employees at Southern Charm Garden Design Service had to move two the other day that had probably 3 or 4 year old ferns in them, and they were concrete pots. Mm-hmm. But it – you know, you take a deep breath, you grab it, you put it on the dolly, you go, and you don't stop till you get to your next location.
Right, it's kind of praying a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Hope you don't hit a knot.
Or a water hose.
Or a water hose. It throws the whole operation off.
And if you've ever heard, you know, giant concrete pots shatter on a marble deck, it's not a nice thing. Boom.
Well, we have another question earlier from Ray and Clinton saying, I have a stupid question. None of them are stupid questions, Ray. Can I spray my vegetables with Captain Jack Dead Bug brew? Also, I will find that prescription model to pull the label off. Absolutely great airtight seed container.
Yes. And, I like Captain Jack. That's a great product. You can use Captain Jack, you know, on vegetables. It's an organic Captain Jack is, in case nobody's familiar with it, it's an organic plant line.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I'm not as familiar with it. And,
yeah.
But it is in the organic area.
Yes,
right?
It is considered organic and pretty safe on just about anything. But yeah, that's a great brand. Yeah, wake up everybody. Light up this text line. You guys don't know how much it helps when you've got something. You don't even have to think about
what are the best about. Things for since we're getting into where everything is growing and
right.
Obviously people are going to start consuming some of what they're growing. What is the best way to keep it from having the insecticides and the stuff? Let's say you have the mosquito guy that comes by once every couple of weeks and sprays. And
right.
What do you do to protect your plants from absorbing some of those types of chemicals that you don't want?
Wow, that's a great question. You know, most organic gardeners and, you know, fairly on the clean side gardeners would avoid using those things around those vegetables.
Yeah, but let's
but
just
there
say,
are
yeah.
some, you know, that are actually labeled. And there's a certain amount of time frame, like, you know, the old, you know, famous seven, you know, now they've added eight.
Seven dust?
Yes.
Okay.
That's because you can pick, like, 7 days after you use it. It's safe.
All right. And why is that? Just because the chemicals have a tendency to wear off? Or
right. It's not
absorbed
a super residual chemical. The best rule of thumb is just try to avoid that stuff around your thing, anything you're going to eat, you know.
So let's just say I know my mosquito guy is coming by and he's going to spray the yard. And I've got plants growing and I'm able to, say, take a tarp or
you
just
could.
Go ahead and cover it.
Yeah. Not for very long,
yeah.
You know.
But how long would it take for, those chemicals that are floating around in the atmosphere to kind of get where they need to get so I can pull that tarp off?
Generally, you know, until they dry. You know, once that stuff hits the ground. You know, there are some things, you know, like some of the weed barrier chemicals, like, you know, use the name Preen. Everybody knows that one. That hangs around for a minute, but you don't want to use those things around your garden, you know, pretty much. Okay. Outside, most of the plants are near the edge of a canopy of a maple. Well, that's good, but, you know, in my part of central Mississippi the other night, we had about 2.5 inches of rain, and that's going to go through a maple pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty quick. Yeah.
He said, and Ken also followed up and said, most of his plants are under or near the edge of a canopy of a Japanese maple. And what a beautiful tree.
Yes.
I love those.
It is. And, you know, this year they are, the color is stunning. They're doing great. Doing great. I want to touch on some things that are happening in the gardening world today. Okay. I just had a plant sale pop up on my Facebook page that if you are in the Jackson area, is in it's Ella's Plant Sale, and I'm assuming this maybe is an individual.
As in Ella?
Ella.
Okay, yeah.
Ella's Plant Sale. Here you go, folks. She's having a plant sale from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. today. Look right up on Facebook. It wouldn't be hard to find if you're in central Mississippi. Looks like it could be fun, you know.
It seems like you've had fun with the plant sales lately. You've been on site, on location, all over town.
I'm exhausted.
I know. I'm glad you get to kind of sit down. Nellie
yeah.
was giving you a kind of almost a day off to come sit down and hang out and not have to run around. But you've done an amazing job. I want to say that, as I'm sure our listeners have appreciated, all the information you've provided, the pictures, and the interviews, too. It's been a lot of fun to have you.
It is great fun to run around to those plant sales because, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And you try to allot, you know, how much time you're going to be at each one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost impossible because you run into so many people you know.
Well, Chris has a good question here where Chris says, after I use Seven Dust as all natural, can I still sell my vegetables?
Sure.
Sure. So that would be organic.
Yes.
Okay.
I promise you folks, if you're buying vegetables at Kroger or any big box store, there's way worse than seven put on them. I hate to say that.
But from a technical standpoint.
From a technical standpoint.
You can still sell them
and
say they're organic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, and the word organic, you know, and we have a guest coming up.
Well, yeah, there's a wide range.
It is. And, man, hold on to the 9 o'clock hour, folks, because this guy is going to
wow you. Set it up for him. We've got 2 minutes.
Give
us a little heads up on what
I have got
up your sleeve this morning.
An acquaintance of mine. His name is Preston. He's going to be calling in at the top of the hour. He is an organic gardening expert, guru, put a title on it. I sat down with him yesterday, you know, just have a little pre-interview. And I'm just going to basically introduce him and let him take the wheel. It's amazing. You guys are going to love these stories. You're going to love them. You are going to love them.
And what is his background?
Well, he actually has was the owner of a deep sea boat in Florida. But he started out in his gardening experience at the University of Louisiana.
Okay, so gardening experience, University of Louisiana, spent a lot of time on the water.
On the water. And
living the good life. We just had head of the Mississippi or United fishermen the other day, and he was fascinating with some of the information. But you know, living out in that world every day, doing charters or working in the commercial fishing side on bigger boats or shrimp and oysters.
Right.
Oh, it's a fascinating world. And I mean, you've seen a little bit of everything out there.
Exactly.
Because you get the ocean, and there is aquatic life out there that is plant-based, and you see it all the time. And, you know, things that are you can consume, such as seaweed and other items. And you move in where you're coming into shore, and you see the gradual change where you get the green and what is edible there. And
right.
I love the
– And where does fish emulsion come from anyway, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things that happen right there. In that almost was estuary where you get the fresh water coming in and all of the red fish and the plant life, the bird life, it all kind of comes together in those areas. It's beautiful down there, whether it's the Mississippi or getting over into more of the Louisiana coast, which is it's kind of like Swiss cheese down there. You know, it's just water and land everywhere.
You know, and he has a story about his inspiration. I asked him last night. I said, when did your interest start? And he has a childhood gardening story that is so epic. I'm like, you have to tell the story.
I love a good story.
So we have I don't have a name, but apparently this individual had trouble with mildew on her chemicals, on her zinnias last year. Yeah, and that's not unusual. Zinnias are pretty susceptible to fungus, powdery mildew, downy mildew, all the mildews.
Are the lower growing, you know, smaller to mid-range ones more susceptible? I've grown the taller ones and never really noticed it, but I had some last year that seemed to have some. They were the smaller ones.
Yes. Okay. Some of the smaller bush zinnias that have been hybridized over the last few years aren't as bad. Your large cut zinnias are the ones. Number one thing you can do is try to keep the foliage dry. Well, and I hear music, so we're going to have to step away for a minute. This is Mark Patrick Peaches setting in for the Garden Mama today, and we'll be right back after these short messages.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Keep everything in the farm upset in every way. The dogs begin to bark, hounds begin to howl. Yeah.
good song for waking up.
It's a great song. Yeah.
Because I doubt the rooster's even waking up right now.
You know, I wake up a little faster than that, though, I have to admit. Anybody that knows me, welcome back to the Garden Mama Show on Super Talk Mississippi. Wow, it's still raining.
That's what I'm saying. I don't even think the roosters are crowing this morning. They're just chilling and enjoying a little bit of sleeping in.
You know, and
wrong with that.
What's so funny, you know, Lance picks that song, okay? But he didn't know I was going to come in here with an Angry Birds joke book.
No, that's what's so funny about doing this. We all joke because when you get that synergy, when the mind starts working together or something just happens and you're like, you know, that just worked. That's one of those things right there. So give me the Angry Birds.
Perfect lead-in. One's going to go to the other. Okay, Lance, tell me. Why? Oh, happy Mother's Day weekend, everybody.
Almost, yeah. Everybody, don't forget, it is tomorrow.
Hey, Mother's Day starts about Thursday.
And what is the best thing to get a mother other than a beautiful bouquet of flowers?
What would I say other than flowers?
I mean, come on. And you have some great images this week that you have taken during the course of the week, because these, as you'll see, Mark is really good about getting pics in during the week. And so these are all fresh. This isn't stuff that came out of like a book or things where he's got them in a library. They're all where he's been bouncing around all week.
And I'm really careful not to send the same one 2 weeks in a row because I'm like, you know, somebody may notice.
No, they're going to notice.
No, they will. I'll get a text.
I will.
So here I have
do that to me.
Here's a Mother's Day joke for you, Lance. Why did the chick disappoint his mother?
Huh.
Because he wasn't what he was cracked up to be.
Oh, wow. Man.
Happy. Yeah. That was bad, wasn't it?
No, you got to have those types of jokes.
That was bad.
Those are like the dad jokes you throw out. But that's a good one. We would do we've done a couple segments in the morning of terrible dad jokes. I don't know if that one would have made it into the terrible. It might have been into the bad dad jokes, though.
You know,
that's a good one. I like that.
I was recently up in the Ozarks to see my mother. And there is an oil change place, okay? I don't know the name. But they have one of those rotating billboards on the side of the building. And all they roll on it is their advertising and bad dad jokes. Honestly.
That's somebody's paying for that. Yeah.
So when you're sitting at the light, you catch up on your bad dad jokes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
I enjoy comedy. Not at all. That's the thing. I can't say that I'm the most serious all the time. I have times where I'm serious, but I like the lighter side of things more. You know, I've learned in life, if I take myself too seriously, days can get long.
Yeah, I've only seen
you. You get to my age, and you may want long days. You
know? I can say the time you're the most serious is when you're in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were super serious.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know how to turn it on. And I was like pitching. You know, you always, when you get on the mound or when you're doing your work, you're doing your work. And you take it serious and you get it done and try to be good at it. I always want to get better. And I always want to get better here. Paul was great about challenging both of us every day to, you know, I would say in anything you do, to try to step forward. You just take those steps forward and don't ever think perfection is something you can't try for, but it is unattainable, because if you ever are perfect, well, there's nothing to work for anymore. It's over.
There's not.
So, yeah, you know, it's always nice to be able to get up and do this and be challenged with the multiple topics. And I love, this is one of my favorite things in the world, and Garden Mama knows how much I really enjoy the plant world. Growing up with a grandmother who was an artist and predominantly planted flowers and landscapes, and really was drawn into that world. My mamaw and papaw were farmers, so seeing the produce and the growth and the green and the goods and the beautiful yellow of that corn coming off those stalks, it was and I love it. We get to do both of those things today, and I think sometimes we forget how valuable that farmland is and how valuable those small gardens are that you grow, and how proud we all are when we have that produce that pops out of that green stuff growing out of the ground. You're like, whoa, man, it's amazing, especially if it's your first timer.
It's a good feeling.
It is.
And you know what I brought you this morning? I hadn't even told you yet.
What you got?
Celery.
Celery. Oh, my God. I love celery. Yeah. I can just eat celery straight. Yeah, I don't need any of the peanut
this
butter.
This is really good.
I just like the green crispiness of it. It's just so good.
Man. And you know what today is, right?
Well, it's the day before Mother's Day.
And it's National Shrimp Day.
Oh, really?
There might even be shrimp cocktail in there.
Well,
you know?
My sister and I took Mom to Barry's All-You-Can-Eat Catfish Buffet. Oh, now, they don't advertise with us or anything, so it's not a promotion, but we had a great time. But just the vegetables and everything as well, and the fresh goodies, yeah. That was great. I mean, you know, so, yeah, Mother's Day being tomorrow, we jump-started it.
Did you jump-start?
Yeah, we jump-started it. So we had it a couple days early. We couldn't wait any longer. It was one of those things, like, we got to go now.
Come Let's on. Just go ahead and go.
We've been fasting for like 2 days and getting ready for it.
Go ahead and go. Before I forget it, in New Albany, Mississippi today is
beautiful town.
Provided they haven't canceled because of rain, but I seriously doubt it. I love this name. It is the Pollinator Palooza.
Wow.
From 10 to 4, there's no charge. It's at 921 Sam T. Barkley Drive in New Albany, Mississippi. Go pay him a visit.
All right, well, here's your forecast for New Albany today.
All right.
This is straight from the NOAA, okay, so out of the Tupelo Airport area today for New Albany. If you're looking for the event, showers before 4 p.m., so if you have an opportunity, it says there will be, and then some showers potentially afterwards around 5, so you may be involved in the rainfall today. Chance of precipitation, 80%, and make it a little bit. So if you know, just take the umbrella,
yeah,
put on
umbrella.
The jacket and the rubber boots. We all have that stuff now.
I tell people all the time, you know, you're waterproof. You know,
if you're a gardener, you can handle the water.
Hopefully you take a shower every day. So, well, you know, what's the difference?
Hey, who in the world has a hose that doesn't leak? You know,
Boy, that's a pet peeve of mine.
I mean, yeah. How quickly does it take a hose? And I've replaced everything.
Look,
yeah, I mean,
I can't have a leaky hose. I'm a hose snob. You know, that's going to be the first thing to be fixed. You know, the little pockets in my truck have O-rings in them.
Well, I've replaced.
You know, I keep them handy all the time.
Every size
there might be an O-ring in my pocket right now. I'm not sure.
I will take them out of old hoses when I find them laying around. I'll go in there with my knife and pop the one out. You know, if somebody's throwing a hose at them. I got plenty of them. Yeah. Rhett and Ridgeland, my passion flower, 2 years old.
It's beautiful, Rhett.
Beauty.
That's a great plant.
Man, they're so dynamic. Look at that. It's like a spaceship or something. The way those,
it kind of does look like a spaceship.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just got that little dome in the middle that's like a biosphere. It's this whole little world.
And we also have Corinne and Jackson. She's got a couple of questions for us. Let's see. We've got, many of my daffodil bulbs did not bloom this past year, but many are in deep shade. How many hours of sun do they need to bloom? Good question. I would have to Google that to give you an exact number. There can be a couple of things why they didn't bloom. If you don't leave the foliage on them after they bloom until it starts to brown out, that's the energy to create the flower for the next year. Normally, daffodils will do fine. When you say deep shade, are they under evergreens or are they under, you know, more a herbaceous evergreen, because if they get winter sunshine, they still should bloom. So I'll Google that and get back to you, Corinne. I'm going to make a note. We're going to get to your second.
Are there no-nos on where to put those? Underneath certain type
of
trees?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to put them under, you know, like a conifer and an evergreen where they don't get any winter sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But those, you know, those bulbs will bloom under trees as long as they get winter sunshine. But you've got to leave that foliage on there.
And the other question I would have in tandem with that is, I know that pine trees have that acidity to it much more so. So where, say, blueberries seem to grow very well in that environment.
In that environment.
But, say, other plants, I've never known much about what can pair up well with a pine tree underneath. But blueberries love it. What else works underneath these pine?
Well,
the
azalea family, you know, the camellia family, all of those love that acidity up under, you know, a pine tree. But generally, you know, to the best of my knowledge, and somebody would probably debate me on this, and I may be incorrect because it's not really my forte. I don't believe daffodil bulbs are that, you know, affected.
That's kind of where I was going to go. Well, bulb plants, are they going to be a little bit more immune or shielded because of the bulb nature of their?
How many times have you seen paper whites bloom in a bowl of rocks and water.
I've seen some most of the bulb stuff right now seems to be really thriving if it's in
it's been a good
sunshine because I don't know what the conditions are that are different, but all of the bulb style plants I've seen in my neighborhood
really good this year,
really strong much bigger to me and fuller than the last couple of seasons. So
yes,
and iris were really multiple bulbs, multiple flowers more than I've seen in years. So I was trying to ask Nellie why that happens, but I guess it's that perfect.
It's the perfect. It's the weather. The weather. It was a banner year for a lot of things this year. And Corinne, you probably, it could be that too much rain and the nutrients in your container have leached out. So you could do calcium or a low rate of nitrogen on your peppers to green them up. Peppers green up pretty fast. I think you'll be all right. But yeah, everything's been so wet. Good morning, Paula. Uh-oh, Paula's off work and watching.
Oh, good. She's not having to get into the office today. That's always nice.
Yeah, she's probably going to be.
Rainy Saturday. They'll be bringing the wet dogs in.
No.
I'm supposed to do that here.
No wet dogs, Paula. Thank you.
That are kind of dirty and also wet when you bring them in, they have a little bit more of a smell to them you have to deal with.
There's
at least mine do.
There is a wet dog smell that's in a class of its own.
Yes, you want them to be dry when you bring them in, and then get the soap on them before you have to get the muskiness, especially the ones with the scent glands that seem to have been blocked up a little bit. I know,
right.
Apollo probably like, oh my god, the scent glands. If you've ever had labs, y'all know what I mean, man. They'll get sour on you quick.
Yes. Yeah. Paula knows all about wet dogs, I'm pretty sure. Right. All right, we got Jackie from Brandon. She wants to know, why do people cut their iris foliage at an angle? It's just like when you're pruning. You don't want a flat cut where water can get into, the
it
open.
On top of it.
Maybe. The open tissue. And so you cut them at an angle.
Mm-hmm. You do that with your roses, too, as much as possible.
You do that with everything.
Yeah. I can tell you, mine perform so much better, the roses do, on rebloom and regrowth with an angled cut.
And you cut them with an angle.
In that right little spot where you can do it. And sometimes all you really need to do is deadhead it with an angle if you want them to continue growing up. But if you want to tighten them up a little bit. This year I've allowed mine just to kind of go up more, and I've really enjoyed it because I got one that's about 6 foot that is really done amazing this year, and it's not hanging, and it's not seemingly drooping, but it's been a project for a couple of years of pruning to get it to where it seems strong enough to handle about 6 feet in height, and man, it looks
right.
It's taken the spot up so much better, and it's in a full sun area in front of a fence, a wooden fence, cedar fence. It really just this year I was like, wow.
I went down after.
I'm glad I did not cut it lower,
After one of the plant sales this week, I snuck over to the Greenwood Cemetery where there are hundreds of antique roses. And I mean, wow, it was amazing. Okay.
When you go to a place like that, are you talking about around the grave sites or around the fence lines? Or is this
they're everywhere.
Old growth roses that have been there for how long would you say?
Well, some of those have been there forever. A lot of them have been brought in by master gardeners and planted to help beautify the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, that cemetery, very historic cemetery, went unkept for a long time, and they've gone in and planted a lot of them. So it's like a giant rose garden.
Well, Andrea says she had visited Desert Botanical, and she was going to send us a pic. Any of those, I love that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I worked in the arts for a while years ago, right out of college, and I really had a blast because my boss sent me around to almost every botanical garden or museum or church or anywhere that had an affinity for what we were doing, and it was a great experience because I got to really go into some neat spots and courtyards of museums and seeing things that you're like, wow, man. But also just the botanical gardens. And again, throwing out, my nail gardens is here. I've never been. I've been to so many others, but that's one I've got to – you and I are going to have to hit a lunch one day and go over there. So,
well, I just went to the plant sale there. Is that music again already?
It flies by when you're having a good
time. Garden Mama tells me it's the fastest 2 hours on radio. and I'm beginning to believe her. Well, this is Mark Patrick Peaches setting in for the Garden Mama on Super Talk. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned hundreds of millions of dollars in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, MAX and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused careers, jobs, and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jumpstart on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae, treasury.ms.gov.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time.
I feel more beautiful.
Peaches Patrick.
That's right. The perfect music.
Margaritas and Mai Tais. And
it's too early. Don't start.
When you get off, it probably won't be.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Garden Mama Show. This is Mark Peaches Patrick sitting in for the Garden Mama. She's taking Mother's Day weekend off. Way to go. Way to go.
And there's that mama in her name, and she loves he loves those kids, and they love her.
Oh, they do.
I can only imagine how much fun they're having. Already got a sent me a beautiful image. She knows how much of an Art Deco lunatic I am with the architectural world and art. And every time she goes anywhere, she finds an amazing Art Deco piece
right
somewhere or something to send to me. And she has great taste, folks. Not only does she know a little bit about the planting world, but she art, music, English, the languages, and
you
architecture.
Name it.
Oh yeah, great taste. Call on her if you need a question answered about anything. She's very worldly in that way.
And she's really good at putting me in my place.
Oh, and me too.
Oh, yeah.
Come in and she's not in a great mood that morning. You're like, okay, yes, ma'am. Yeah, don't call me ma'am. Oops, I forgot.
Yeah, oops, sorry.
My bad, no.
My name is Nellie.
No, she's great. I'm hoping that she's having a laid-back day.
I bet she is. Yeah. I bet she is. So, Lance and I, we had a little discussion off the air, and we're going to rewind back to where I was at the Art Garden.
Because I thought it was a great interview, but it was a little hurried, and
there's
so much to see there.
They were busy.
She had so much information to share. I was hoping we could maybe go back and talk about these types of gardens and things that we have access to. And one that you were just at, it had an amazing plant sale. It's got some unique plants. And a really cool place.
Believe it or not, I go there a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's highlight it a bit.
If I have to meet somebody, you know, in the Jackson area, the Art Garden, I said, meet me at the Art Garden.
I think that's a great meeting spot.
It is a great meeting spot.
And it's a good idea for a meeting spot, too. Can you get a cup of coffee there?
I'm sure. Yeah. There's plenty of places down there now. And, you know, I'm sorry if you're not on the app and streaming and you can't see what we're doing. I have a map I'm going to hold up for those that are looking. Lance, this is a map of every plant in the Art Garden. People, this place was designed by Robert Poor and another individual. They have, in a very artistic, minimalistic way, all these raised beds with all these wonderful native, maybe some not native But, I mean, it's just an amazing place.
I know that she said there were quite a few native species
there are.
In there. And that's something that really interests me, not just because of being a Mississippian, but knowing what plants are what. I mean, spending as much time out in the woods as I do and going, I wonder, you know, I could look it up on Google, but it's, you know, that seems like that's the cheating way sometimes.
Right.
I use it a lot, but, you know, you want to build that knowledge base.
Exactly.
Of what is native here and what has been brought in here. Like, kudzu's not native here,
no.
But it surely likes to grow here.
Well, it has made itself at home.
Yeah, it likes it. It's a good home for kudzu.
There's no doubt about that. That just, you know, when we were down there at the plant sale the other day, and they always have tons of literature, you know, on native plants. There was a yoga class going on at the same time.
Really? Yeah. In the garden?
It was in the art museum.
In the museum,
In the main lobby there.
Wow.
And there was probably, I don't know, I tend to exaggerate, 50-plus people in there doing yoga.
That's pretty cool.
And they're selling plants on the sidewalk. And then you
pretty active day.
And then, you know, there's kids playing in the splash pools. And it's just a great place. I mean, if you haven't been.
It's a pretty active day there.
If you haven't been, go. Amanda from Pike County says, good morning, off to the cemetery in Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge, hug your mama if she's still here. That's good advice.
You got that right.
Happy Saturday, Amanda. There's Paula and her tortoise.
I'm trying to get it over there.
Paula is.
She has the turtle, right.
Look, she carries that thing around
with
her.
No, it's a pet, right.
Yeah.
It's a pet turtle.
It's her pet turtle. All right, and Richard from Columbus just saw where there was a 3.5 earthquake around Gatlinburg.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, hold on, folks.
They had the fires not long ago, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And now you've got an earthquake. Uh-oh. That's like two of the four big ones, right?
Yeah.
And they weren't far off from the hurricanes on the East Coast last year.
It's probably somebody standing in line at a roller coaster at Dollywood wondering what's going on.
What's going on here? Couple years up there, though, the natural disasters have been rough.
I grew up on one of the largest fault lines in, you know, the United States, New Madrid Fault, Missouri. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until after I left we had a whole lot of activity. They've had
a pretty decent earthquake in that vicinity within the last 6 months. I know, I can't remember when it was.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Peter from Starkville, first time my cactus has bloomed, also wondering where I can buy more native Mississippi palms. All right, you're in Starkville. Check around. I actually spoke to a gentleman with Mississippi State, and, you know, actually that's organic. Native palms, you know, let me do some research on that. I bet Nellie can tell me exactly. You know, and
I can tell you
palmetto is easy to find.
Isn't it easy to grow from my experience? I have two. One's probably 20 feet by now and is extremely full and has gone through every different condition you can possibly put them through. Now, it is in a fairly sheltered place for the base and wind, so it hasn't had the leaning issues that you will see at times with some of those. But the growth and the regrowth year after year has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'll say in whatever condition it's been in, The palmetto, the normal palm that you see pretty much everywhere, has been resilient. I have a dwarf one of the same, and it's, you know, it's a slow grower. It doesn't move too fast, but it can go through about anything. And
when it comes to palmetto, you got to take that word dwarf with a grain of salt too.
they take off on me at some point. Yeah.
Dwarf is relative. Okay, it is relative.
I got it in a pot. I got it in one of those huge pots, and I try to keep it dwarfed.
We have them in a pot also, you know, but you've seen the situation. Well, you may have not have noticed because the last time you were there, you were too busy eating ribs.
Then once the ribs are there, it's not seeing much anything else.
Yeah. If the smoker's going, who cares about the plants, right?
Well, you want to make sure that you can get the ribs.
That's right.
Everybody
else wants
the ribs too. So,
and I do want to mention this real quick before we have to step out of here. What I'm holding in front of me is the farmer's market at the depot in downtown Tupelo next weekend.
Ooh.
Super Talk will be there.
Beautiful part of town. I love that area.
Yes. Garden Mom is going to be doing a remote Tupelo. And, man, there's a list of vendors. It's going to be fun.
I was talking to Gary about it Friday. He was excited. You know, he'll be up there, Scary Gary and Garden Mama. That's a twosome there now.
No, believe me, I know. I've experienced
You've been there.
I've experienced it. We're gonna.
Y'all got to get out and see him.
We're going to hope for good weather. Go see Garden Mama.
Bring your favorite NASCAR shirt, and Gary will sign it. And bring your favorite plant, and Nelly will bless it. And we'll be good to go.
Look, I know I've actually going to pick up some. Nelly's going to have some seeds provided by the Rankin County Master Gardeners to be given out.
Well, keep a good grabbing for me.
I will.
Give them all out.
I will. I get to inventory them before they go anyway, so I'll make sure if there's anything good in there, we get
it. And what is our time, exact location, and who are the participants again?
Oh, gosh. You know, there's 26 vendors on here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is it 208 North Front Street in downtown Tupelo? There's a total of 32 vendors.
And what's the time frame on that?
You know, it doesn't have a time.
We have our remote, which
will
be there.
Well, we know Nellie will be there from 8 to 10.
But I'm sure she'll be hanging around for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she won't leave till the afternoon. Well, there's my music. That means we're going to step away for a minute. This is Mark Patrick Peaches sitting in for the Garden Mama on Super Talk Mississippi.
Homeowners, Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Steel deals are happening now. From instant savings on select tools to free battery offers on some of our most popular battery tool sets, you can enjoy great deals and do it all with Steel. Shop online or in store at your local Steel dealer. Offer valid for a limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Hey.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good morning, good morning. I am trying to do my best Nellie Neal imitation up here playing the drums, you know. This is Mark Patrick Peaches. If you weren't with us the first hour, Garden Mama is taking a hiatus this weekend. We're happy for her. Hope she's enjoying herself. We're back. Boy, am I excited. I'm excited, y'all. We have got a friend of mine, Preston, who is about to come on the air with us to talk about organic gardening. And I'll tell you, if I'm real quiet, it's because he makes me look kind of dumb. Honestly. Lance, hold on.
I'm ready.
Hold on. Are you there, Preston?
How are you this morning?
Good morning, Preston. How are you?
Doing great. Enjoying this liquid sunshine.
Man, I'm telling you. Yeah.
It's so funny you say that. I was in there taking my shower this morning, Preston. And I said to myself, well, to a plant, I guess water's blood. That's like, you know, it's lifeblood. You know, to us, we have blood. But, I mean, to a plant, water is the blood. It needs it.
That's kind of creepy, Lance.
But it's the truth. I mean, that's what makes up how much of a plant is water.
Yeah. I didn't take a shower. I just turned the heater up on the pool and did 3 laps.
That's right. You're a heated pool guy.
That's right. Heated pool. Preston. So.
Yes.
I have warned Lance and told him. I said, man, this guy is a plethora of knowledge. So I want you, we discussed it last night. Let's talk about you, T, tell us a little bit about you and your inspiration, and please tell the pea story.
Well, I'll tell you, I grew up in East Texas, and I think my first exposure to organic gardening was maybe a little bit off, but my sister and I were tasked with planting about an acre of cream peas. I don't even remember which variety at this point. But after about, I would say, 3 hours of planting peas, we decided those peas had had enough of us, and we wandered down to the creek. And there was a big pile of brush and leaves and stuff some duck hunters had piled up. And my sister hid the remaining peas in that pile. Within a few weeks, it was flourishing. We tried to hide it from our parents as long as we could. But ultimately, it made more peas than the almost acre that we had planted in the dirt.
Isn't that a great story, Lance?
I love it, and you know the ducks. Ducks probably really enjoyed it too, as the season came around. That was the house.
Evidence.
They're like, we're going there at roost. That's our spot.
Yeah, and I don't know, Preston. I don't know how many times I got in trouble. You know, and I told you this last night. You know, we'd have a whole bucket of green beans to snap. We'd snap three and throw one in the trash. Snap three, throw one in the trash. Yeah, that's what happens. So. That was kind of – was that an eye-opener for you when you saw that happen and how easy it was?
Well, it was. It caught my attention, and it stuck with me for a number of years. And I never really forgot it. But along about, I'd say, 1979 or so, I started working my way through college. And I was really pretty much hungry. I didn't have any money. And I knew I needed to put a garden in, but I couldn't afford the materials to do it with, I guess. And that's kind of where I thought back on that pile of rubble and those peas and thought I'd shake a stick at it. So I kind of went around and picked up leaves off the side of the road and picked up some natural stuff to fertilize with and put in a pretty decent garden without even having a tiller at that point.
That's great. But go ahead. Don't let me interrupt.
Well, that was my first real attempt at it, and I didn't even, you know, just had a shovel and a garden fork and some manure off some farms and a lot of garden gold, which is, we refer to as leaves.
Right.
And but that's where it started. It kind of developed from there. I started really studying and learning about organic ingredients, real organic ingredients, your rock phosphates and granite meals and things like that.
So if I can ask, and I don't know this, what were you actually studying while you were in school?
Business administration.
Business administration, yeah. See, you might have should have been an Aggie. I don't know. But that business administration works when you're an Aggie too, though, you know. So,
I may should have. I ultimately, while I was going to school, I worked for Louisiana State University beef cattle research.
There you go.
So my friends would make a joke about the manure of the month club because we would load it up and distribute it here and there to different gardeners.
Yeah. Well, you know, the conversation we had last night is a lot of people aren't aware that, you know, that pretty much everything you need to garden is already here. You know, the earliest gardeners in the world, they didn't have any tools or fertilizer, correct?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sherry, let's talk about the gardening side. You had a list of tools that you said you wanted to start with, that you think every organic gardener should have. And
I would say to make it easy, the first year you probably need to till, but after the first spring, you'll never use a mechanical tiller.
Yeah.
But your basic tools you're going to need: a watering can, that's pretty obvious, a garden fork, and a shovel. the first year, you're going to gather all the leaves that you can, typically mulch them up with a lawnmower, just run back and forth over it till you get about a 4-inch layer on top of the soil. Till it in real, very well. This is the first fall. After you get that tilled in, you're going to want to come back with some type of nitrogen-fixing plant. I always preferred red clover. It grows very well here in the South. But you let it grow. You can interplant some cabbage or any of your cold crops with that. But essentially what you're doing is creating a cover crop during the winter. The spring, you're going to want to mow it all down and till it in, and then sell your tiller after that. Everything else from there on, doesn't matter how many years you do it, is going to be done with a garden fork.
Is everybody taking notes? I mean, Preston, I am so impressed with how you have this down, you know, numerically in this process. And you've actually, how many times have you actually done that?
Well, I'm 66 years old at this point. I think I started in 1979. I couldn't tell you how many times I've done it, but I think my wife and I have moved
a little bit, huh?
And to three separate states in the years that we've been married, and I've had to start from scratch every time we moved.
Right.
So we've done everything from sandy soil to heavy clay soils, and fortunately here in the Jackson area, we've got a very good mix of clay and sand for the most part.
Right.
Unless you're in a new home site where they've pushed all the topsoil out, you've got a pretty good basis to start an organic garden.
Have you done any of it in, do you ever do it in containers or, you know, raised bed situations, or do you prefer to go straight into the ground with your garden?
I go in, for organic gardening, you really need the ground because there's a symbiosis between the soil and the plant.
Absolutely.
It's the entire garden is a living, breathing organism from the base of the roots to the tip of the plants and everything that lives there within, you know, your beneficial insects. It's a living, thriving community. But you can't, let me say this about organic gardening. It's kind of like a woman can't be kind of pregnant. You're either organic or you're not.
Yeah.
There's really nothing in between. If you use any chemicals at all, you're going to disrupt that symbiosis between the earth and the organisms.
Which, you know, draws the line, and this is a topic that I know Nelly has touched on, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine how many times, about the difference between dirt and an artificial soil. Artificial soil is basically, you know, not really organic. You know, just like you're saying, you know, into the ground, it's a living organism, and it's hard to get that in a bag. It's impossible, isn't it?
Well, it can be impossible. You don't really know what's been put into that bag.
Absolutely.
And the thing about organic gardening is whatever you put into that soil, you're putting into your body when you eat it also. So, you know, you probably wouldn't go to the grocery store blindfolded and just start throwing stuff into your cart and expect a good result, a good ending.
Right.
So you really need with your garden from the very start to the end result, you need to know what's going in there.
Exactly.
But I would say this. I would say this for anyone starting out. The baseline is going to be soil samples.
Correct.
You can take clean jars, take your soil sample to the local county agent, and determine what's already in there. and then you build on it from there. So in a typical garden, say in the fall, people put lime out of a bag. In an organic garden, you're probably going to want to get powdered limestone. And you have to think in those terms. You absolutely have to know what you're putting in the soil, where it comes from, and what's in it.
Exactly. You're challenging people. And I hope that there's a lot of listeners listening, taking notes, and replay this, because Preston really knows what he's talking about. So talk to me a little bit about, and this was a topic we had last night, we may bounce around a little bit, but talk to me about insect control, because that is one of, in our part of the world, that's one of the hardest things about organic gardening is we have practically every insect known to man. And you have a real, Lance, this is the best. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, I would have never done that. So talk to us about your insect control approach and how good it would be for the Dustbuster company. Do they still make those?
Well, there are a lot of ways to go about it, but typically in the spring and summer, you're going to have to be able to identify your bugs, because not all bugs are bad. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of really good bugs for the garden. So you need to know your insects as well as you do your plants. One of the advantages of organic gardening is the cell structure in the plants is not based on nitrogen so much. It's more of a balance. So what attracts bugs to the garden is free nitrogen. So the more nitrogen you put on, let's say from chemical fertilizers, the more goes into the air. So it's like a dinner bell to bugs. When the sun starts to heat it up and it evaporates, they detect that free nitrogen and they're going to just jump on those plants. With an organic garden, you're going to have your basic organic fertilizers. They're very slow release. So the cell walls on the plant are going to be a lot thicker and sturdier in structure. So it's harder for bugs to get into them. But when I talked about identifying your bugs, if you come in with, let's say, an insecticide, like most people do in gardens, you're killing every bug there, including your beneficial insects. And there are a lot of beneficial insects. Different wasps, praying mantis is a good example of that. But if you wipe everything out, then the bugs are going to just kind of jump back in full force, and there's not going to be anything to contain them. So as opposed to using let's say, insecticidal soap, which there are a lot of really good organic ones out there, the best method actually is a handheld vacuum cleaner, just like you use in your vehicle.
Wow. It's funny you say that, because I've used that with the ladybug population. At times will get extremely overabundant. And I've used the little handheld vacs, and they'll just pull it right up. I mean, you get thousands upon thousands of those in one swipe. And I'm going, wow, that's kind of a genius idea that you never thought was an idea. Look, just did it because it was there. But that's an amazing idea, Preston.
I'm suddenly seeing like a Roomba that looks like a ladybug that you turn it loose in your garden.
And it just identifies a bug.
Great idea. And we're not making fun of you, Preston.
Just blows my mind right there, how you can take something where you think you need all these chemicals, but you can go with something as utilitarian as a hand vac and knock them out.
Sometimes it's right in your face and you don't get it. So you have used that. Am I correct? You've gone out and vacuumed up bugs.
Oh, absolutely. Many, many times. But the advantage of doing that is, if you'll get a little chart on beneficial insects, I'm sure Mississippi State University has
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
you only target the bad bugs.
That's right.
So you leave the good ones there, and the good ones are going to devour the bad ones. If you can keep the numbers under control.
We're going to step away. You're going to stay with us, though. We're going to be back for our second segment. This is Mark Peaches Patrick, and we have Preston on the phone live from a secret location. We're not going to reveal where he is. And we'll be back in just a few minutes for the Garden Mama Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Visit mspropane.com to learn more about propane as a safe, reliable fuel. Learn more about grilling safety, installation safety, general safety, and just how efficient propane gas is. Visit mspropane.com for more information. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's mspropane.com.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
We've sent that rib van.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Garden Mama Show. Lance, you did that on purpose, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. You did that on purpose.
Well, the guy, our guest here has also a life on the high seas.
Yes. And before I get to the guest, I'm gonna knock a couple of texts out real quick because we don't want anybody to be left out. And I'm going to say, Preston, you've got them stirred up. Thank you very much. We like that. Paula likes my shirt. Thank you, Paula. I'm not going to give Lance my shirt.
I have tons of that's my favorite brand type of shirt is like a Hawaiian cut with all kind of stuff on it. And if I'd have known you were wearing one, I would have pulled one out today.
It's crawfish season, right? Especially with this weather. It won't be hot. They're going to be in the middle of I-55 more than likely. Let's see. I don't have a name here, and I'm going to have to say I'm sorry, but I promised Preston I would protect his anonymity. He knows a lot, and we're happy that he's here sharing it, but I can't share his contact information. I'm very sorry, but if you'd like to go through myself or Garden Mama to ask him some questions, I know he'd be happy to answer them. Robin Amory Moles, I tend to go with the granular repellents. They last a little better than the spray, especially when you're having a wet year. And Preston, there is Ray from Gluckstadt. You're going to love what she said. Hearing this conversation with Preston makes me think maybe I should have my doubts when I see the label organic, this and that, in the produce section of the grocery store. What do you think, Preston?
Well, absolutely. I won't name the particular chain, but there is a section for organic and then everything else.
Yeah.
And I personally witnessed stock persons putting the same vegetables out of the same box in both areas.
Yes. So, Ray, find a local farmer's market where you can actually talk to the person that maybe grew it or knows where it came from. But, yeah, that is a whole conversation to be had when we have more time. But this is Preston's two segments. So, Preston, Lance wants me to encourage you to talk about what you've spent the last few years doing down on the coast. And while you're doing that, you can kind of tie in how that directly is involved with the whole organic gardening. You talked a little bit about it last night. It's so funny that Lance brought it up. But tell everybody what you've spent the – gosh, I don't even know how long did you have the boat?
Well, I think I retired probably 10 years ago. And prior to retiring, I bought a couple of charter boats in Destin, Florida. So we would charter out to clients to take them deep sea fishing or sometimes 2 or 3 day trips, just depending on how long they want to stay out on the water. But that's kind of how I occupied my spare time, I would say. But one of the really beneficial products from that was fish waste. So we'd take people off fishing, come back, the deckhands would clean the fish, and free fertilizer.
Lots of it.
Left over.
Lots of it. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when I was growing up in the Ozark Mountains, you know, I'm a hillbilly, right? No comment, Lance. Thank you. My grandmother, when my dad, my uncles and cousins would go fishing, she would take, you know, all of the waste and bury it in her lettuce garden in between the rows, you know. They didn't,
absolutely.
They didn't throw any of it away. You know, if you bury it deep enough and keep the dog out of it, that's the biggest thing. But, I mean, it's great fertilizer. You know, people buy fish emulsion and stuff all the time. Now they've learned to
I think that
go ahead.
The native Indians were the first ones to discover that, according to my studies.
Yes.
That's pretty much what they fertilized with.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, and it's great fertilizer. And I mean, you talked a little bit last night about the connections of, you know, and the likes between gardening and the ocean and the fish. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's just like the soil. It's a symbiosis. But everything that's real and natural interacts, from the sea to this liquid sunshine we're getting here in the Jackson area. It all works together if we let it.
Right.
I think where we go wrong is we try to manipulate what's already there and good.
Right.
And when we manipulate it, it goes sideways. So if you just get back, really back to the basics of it.
Right.
Controlling your pests, building your soil. If you feed the soil, it's going to feed you.
Exactly. Exactly.
You got to put the right stuff in it.
So talk about the crops that you've grown and what's your favorite and what do you think's the easiest? And if there is a beginner in organic gardening, where can they start so they don't – the least likely to fail? Because you know what happens. We know when people try to garden, they don't know that much about it. They haven't done their homework and they fail, then they don't try it again. So,
well, I would say you always start an organic garden in the fall, but your easiest crops are going to be your cold crops. That's going to be your cabbages, your broccolis, cauliflowers, and really the only pest you have to deal with with those crops is cabbage loafers.
Right.
And you'll notice probably just a hole or two in a cabbage leaf. And that's when you put Bacillus thuringii, either in powder or spray form. And it's not a pesticide. It's a bacteria. So when the cabbage loafer eggs hatch and they hit that BT, or I think you called it dipel.
Yeah, BT is another common name they're using now. Yes, yes.
But as soon as they digest that, it essentially, they just dry up.
Right.
But you don't have to buy much of it at all, because you can go, let's say you put it out one evening, the next morning you go out and you pick up some of the small cabbage loafers, put it in a warm glass of milk, put it in a blender, and that's an ongoing spray. It's almost like a sourdough biscuit. you just keep the culture going on it, and you just have to mix it with water then, and you've got it. I mean, it is absolutely possible to grow an entire winter crop of cold crops and not have any holes in the leaves at all. If you spot it soon enough and you spray the BT, or it's the bacteria, just stay on top of the bacteria. But cold crops here in Mississippi in the winter are almost foolproof, provided you don't have predators such as deer, rabbits, and things like that. As long as your area is secure, you can grow a beautiful garden in the fall with very little effort.
Is the fall garden your favorite garden? Is that, do you
mean? Absolutely.
Yes, you like that one the best.
It's almost effortless.
It really is. You know, and a problem that, you know, people that do what I do and Nelly and all the horticulturists in the state is educating people on how easy it is to grow those cold crops. And I mean, you know, you can garden 12 months out of the year in Mississippi, and I'm sure when you were in Destin, you probably never stopped, did you?
No, never.
Never, yeah. I mean, there's always something to do in a garden. Have you ever owned a greenhouse?
I own somewhat of a greenhouse, but it wasn't a real fancy version.
It doesn't have to be.
It was kind of a homemade type deal.
Right. Well, it doesn't have to be a fancy version to do, you know, the science.
No, I didn't use a greenhouse a whole lot. I had germination mats and some grow lights to, you know, get the stuff started. And typically I would start right after Christmas. Usually 2 or 3 days after Christmas, I put the eggplant and, you know, tomato seedlings and stuff like that on the mats and get them started. And
so talk to me.
Be ready to harden off.
Talk to me about that one, because I love this. Take the heat off of me, Preston. I get so many texts and people sending me photos, and they've started their tomatoes, and then when they take them outside, they're way too tall and they fall over. You know how to prevent that, don't you?
Well, if you're doing inside with a grow light, you keep the grow light as close as you can to the top of the seedling. If you lift it up too high, if the light source is too far from, they're going to get what we call leggy, just exactly what you described.
Exactly.
They're
going to
get real tall and real thin. So keep the light right over the top, just barely even move it up. As the plant starts to grow, it's going to tend to reach out when you do it like that.
Thank you, Preston. Go ahead. No, you have the floor.
Well, another thing is that people make a mistake of thinking that a seedling needs to be fertilized. It really doesn't. It's got enough energy to get itself going on its own, even if you're using a sterile soil mix. So you don't put any fertilizer to them at all until you start hardening them off. And I'm sure most of the listeners here understand about hardening off. It's a process, just like an organic garden. It's not an event, it's a process. So you're going to take those seedlings out as soon as it starts warming up, just a little bit at a time. I mean, I'm talking about 1 hour the first day, 2 hours the second day. Build on up till you're ready to put them into the soil. The mistake a lot of people make is they're going to take that seedling from underneath the light, and they're going to go drop it in the soil, and the sun's going to blister down on them for 8 or 9 hours, and some of them are going to make it, some of them aren't.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's like, and I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, when you plant a regular garden in the spring, that's an event. When you do an organic garden, it's a process.
Exactly.
So it's not, you know, it's not like we're going to put it in here in the spring and, you know, that's it till next spring. It's not. You have to feed that soil. You have to keep it going. You have to keep that process moving.
Yeah.
You're adding your leaves, your granite meal, your blood meal, bone meal, whatever organic products that you need. But it is a process.
Well, I hate to cut you off, but we're running out of time. And look, I want to say thank you, Preston. This has been so informative. And look, I've already had somebody ask me if you have a book. You might better get to writing. I appreciate it.
Let me point y'all. Listen real quick. I'll point you. Rodale Press has a couple of books. The Organic Gardener, I believe it's the New Organic Gardener. And it's, I'm telling you, it is an organic gardener's Bible.
I'm holding one up. Preston actually gifted one to me a few weeks ago. It's Rodale's Organic Gardening Encyclopedia.
Well, and Preston, one thing here before we got about a minute. I wanted you to take a second. And like, obviously, the inspiration hit you at a young age where you saw, you know, the peas and throwing them over here and having to hide. But what would be one sentence or two that you would say to whoever out there has been curious about organic gardening? What would you say to them right now that gets them going in that direction?
Well, just don't be afraid of it. I'm just telling you, it's everything you need is at your fingertips. Coffee grounds, eggshells, everything you need, you already have. You just don't know it yet.
Absolutely. And that's great advice, people. I hope you were making notes. And, you know, you can always go on the Super Talk app and YouTube and listen and watch this all over again. Preston, I appreciate you taking out your Saturday morning to come hang out with me and Lance. Lance and I, excuse me, Nellie, I hope she's not listening. I used bad grammar.
It happens.
It does happen. And by the way, while we're talking to Preston, I got a text from my mom. She got her flowers.
Yeah. The day is saved.
Yeah, the day is saved. Beverly got her flowers. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. All right. Well, Lance, how'd you enjoy Preston? That was pretty great, wasn't it?
I just got to say thanks, Preston. The information you shared and the time you gave us, wonderful. And it was also amazing to meet your wife the other day. She's an amazing lady. And just thanks again for all that you did for us today. Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, super awesome people. All right, gang. Wow. We're going to step away again. I've got a few reminders. We might have another National Day of, and we'll be right back with more Garden Mama on Super Talk Mississippi.
Homeowners, Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safe.
Well, there ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Oven in the morning, out in the garden, get you a rifle. Hey, don't get a heart. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. Raw winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and dig me a bit, homegrown.
And that's basically a lead in for you to get to work on the tomatoes, baby. I'm ready for some BLTs.
I'm picking them.
Okay.
I'm picking them. They're little.
I don't care. They're little ones that eat good.
They're not there yet.
I had a mess of fried green ones, though, lately.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can't.
Good crispy fried, too. Not soggy. You want them crispy.
You know, and I'm on the fence. Fried green or just a tomato sandwich?
Oh, no, I'm just saying I've had a bunch of fried green ones lately in preparation for tomato
season. Getting ready?
Yeah.
It's going to be an early one.
I hope so. I'm ready for them. Some of the – over the years, you get lucky and find some of those heirlooms that are just the most amazing function of nature.
They really are.
You don't even want to eat them because some of them so pretty.
Some of them are so bizarre looking you don't want to eat them.
And then the brown ones. Yeah. I'd had some brown ones over the years, finally, after 40 years, 45 years, and I was always stayed away from them.
Right.
What are they called again?
I'm not even sure. There's so many. Don't do that
to me.
Yes,
I'm sorry. They're actually good. It's just not – I mean, they don't look good, though. They look like they should taste like chocolate.
They don't look good at all.
It's like a chocolate tomato. No.
You know, a lot of people won't eat yellow tomatoes just because they're yellow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some of the heirloom ones, I don't really care what color they are. You just know they're delicious. I've had some crosses between the yellow, red to brown.
Right. Because
those colors kind of blend in and – move in their direction, but
striped.
They're amazing. So if anybody, as we get to that season, folks, if you're growing some heirlooms, I want to see them.
I think especially
some of the crazy looking ones.
I want a paisley tomato.
If they have them, I'm sure you would know.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, to go backward,
I'm a Goliath man.
Preston cool though?
Oh,
what a great interview,
Preston.
We have to do that again. He brings up a lot of great points.
He does.
The use of things that are right there in front of you. And if there's any advice, is don't be scared to do it. A lot of this stuff is right there next to you, and we seem to have quite a few that are using that concept as well. That are our listeners.
And I want to share a funny story. I knew his wife. I met him together, but I knew his wife pretty well for several years. And, you know, I would always, you know, I'm the flower guy. I would take her flowers. She went home one night and said, "Hey, why does that guy keep giving you flowers?" And she's like, "Well, that's what he does."
Yeah.
And he's like, "What?" So he tells her what I do and who I am. Mm-hmm. And he was a listener.
Yeah.
He's been listening for as long as they've lived here.
Well,
he's like, "That's peaches?"
And yeah. I'm like, well, and that's what we have. Our listeners, they have so much information to share. And this is not his profession.
No.
These are things he's done on the side and learned. And
no.
You make mistakes, you live and learn. But the thing that really gets me the most is the ideas about insect repelling and being able to be selective. Because that is something to me, that, as he said, there's so many beneficial insects there.
There are.
If you can just reduce the non-beneficial ones, the beneficial ones are going to go take over.
Right.
But you got to find a way without, if you want to go organic.
Don't take out the good guys.
Yeah, you don't want the good guys out.
The bad guys. Let me get to Lisa Clara, Mississippi. Lisa, yes, if your Meyer lemon rebounds from the freeze and, you know, puts foliage back on, you won't get lemons this year. But if you can, you know, rehab it a little bit and get it to bloom again, you will have lemons again. It's, you know, that knockback will not cause it to not produce anymore. So, but thank you for the text. And thank everybody for all these texts. Man, these listeners knocking it out of the park. Lance, I told Nellie I was going to do this, and she's like, "Why do you guys do this to me?" Guess what I finally got a hold of.
What you got?
Some bamboo underwear.
I know you did.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of
using
the natural products that way. Working for the School of Pharmacy years ago.
I like it.
As a fundraiser, we did so much work on the natural product stuff. And you were starting to see a lot more in the medical side, obviously, because that's what we did. But at the same time, you were seeing a lot more natural fibers coming back. Where we've used rayons and polyesters and all that, and we're seeing this microplastic in the air and microplastics everywhere. Able to go back to something as basic as bamboo.
Bamboo sheets.
Sheets, underwear, everything. I mean, they're making everything. The flooring, Buddy will tell you, some bamboo flooring is extremely good quality.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But these natural products, and that kind of goes back to what we're talking about, the organic side of the world and, you know, trying to create things, valuable products off of things that were growing already.
Natural resources.
Yeah, bamboo doesn't take a heck of a lot of effort to grow it.
It doesn't take any.
That's right. All you got to do is tell it to grow.
And it's
going to take off.
It's definitely not one you have to sing to.
But I'm curious, though, that as time progresses, will we go that way? Will we think more about, hey, you know, we have all of this readily available land. We've got so many natural products that will grow without us even doing anything. Like bamboo, we don't have to do anything.
Nothing.
If you could imagine, instead of kudzu, you had bamboo. And the bamboo was being harvested and used in ways at small micro levels and areas, you know, where there's, say, a lot of production, you may be using more of that. And
right.
So you have less transport, less cost, and it's more localized. And you build a local economy off of those things.
And you want to know another little funny that happened? Just, you know, sometimes the universe delivers you things right when you need them. I got my genealogy report on my genetic markers that make cilantro taste terrible to me.
Yeah, yeah, you're telling me that. So you have a genetic marker in your body that lets you know whether or not cilantro is going to taste good.
Or taste like soap.
Or it tastes very, like, soapy. And you have the genetic disability of soapy cilantro.
I have the soapy. I can't get anywhere near cilantro. And, you know, when you go, you know, when you go into a Hispanic restaurant and you ask for, you know, can I get that without the cilantro? They look at you like, maybe you should have fish.
Yeah, it's kind of like a peanut allergy. They may just bring you a bowl of it until you just eat it.
Are you in the right restaurant, mister?
Yeah. Hey, we had a question from Ellie in Florence.
Oh, yeah.
And Ellie asked, please tell me when the latest I can trim my azalea and still have blooms next year. Thank you, Ellie in Florence.
Hop to it. Go ahead and do it. I wouldn't wait too long, you know, middle of May. You know, if you get them now, they're going to flush growth again, but don't wait too late. It's really hard to tell you an exact date, you know, because Mother Nature plants don't work on that. But I would go ahead and do it.
Same with gardenias. Tell me about what do you do with your gardenias right now if you have them?
Nothing right now.
Nothing right now.
Because they're about to bloom. Mm-hmm. But
so
then
once that is completed,
then prune them. And then on a normal year, not all gardenias, but most gardenias will bloom a second time.
Yes. And that's my
in September.
Moment. Okay. So when you prune it this after the bloom, after they've died, after they've reduced, you know, the nutrients have back down in the stem, cut them off.
Right.
At the level you want them, and
right.
then let them grow through the summer to get ready for the September bloom.
You know, and like on an azalea, depending on your variety, if you've got like a Formosa, mm-hmm. it's a huge azalea, you might want to take it back 6 inches farther than you think you do because they grow so fast.
Well, and we've got a wet starting point.
Right.
It may have a lot of sun and water this summer.
They're going to be very vigorous. Mm-hmm. They're going to come back.
Usually I can tell how wet it's going to be in the summer by how early the bugs are out. Now, I don't know if that's a way it works or not, but, man, they're out. They've been out since it was cold. And I'm like, I think we're going to have a pretty warm and damp summer. And they're just ready. They're ready to go, you know.
I use reptiles.
The reptiles, okay.
Yeah, well, you know, heated pool, you know, what's the toad population?
Right.
And this is gory, and I shouldn't even tell this, but I think I heard a toad get run over in the middle of the street last night. I want to leave with an excerpt out of a book. Learn from your neighbor. Even if you do your research, it can be hard to pinpoint exactly how your garden will grow. Take a walk and chat with your neighbor. See what worked for them. Chances are you'll both have similar results. That's good advice. Lance, have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Garden Mama Show on Super Talk Mississippi. And we will see you back here next Saturday at 8 a.m.
Propane heats and lights up our life, but being propane safe is vital to our peace of mind. Protect your loved ones with professional installation and propane inspection. Don't cut corners by having a family friend install. Contact your propane provider and stay safe. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more about the many uses of propane. That's mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned hundreds of millions of dollars in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, MAX and IMPACT, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused careers, jobs, and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae, treasury.ms.gov.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.